Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Savior, oh hallelujah. exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Everybody, happy Easter. How are you? Good to see you. Let's stand together to pray. Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful fact that you didn't leave your son Jesus in a grave. Thank you for filling all the prophecies written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before his birth, that you would not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Thank you that he walked out alive. Thank you for sending him for us and showing it all true by this incredible resurrection from the dead, and the world has never been the same. So, Lord, we thank you for all of these Easter Sundays for 2,000 years down to this day. Thank you that the truth of the gospel keeps going out across the world. And we ask you continue to just bless us as we all gather here today. Lord, you know the broken hearts that are gathered here today. And I ask that you would uplift all of us and help us. Come here yourself, Lord. We ask that you touch our lives and help us today. Lord, none of us in this room is good. We are not good, but we're yours. And we ask that you'll just continue your great work in each of our lives. Lord, thank you for this time together. We ask for your blessing. You are honored guest. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, everyone. Have a seat. And we're going to pray together one more time. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on this, would you? Lord, you've been faithful to take care of our little church for all these years. Thank you for the gifts of your people. And Lord, we thank you for those who are here. And if they can give or not, we're grateful that they're here. This isn't a value of anybody. But thank you for the gifts of your people. Take these gifts. Thank you for making it enough. In Jesus' name, amen.
baby. Are you Earl? Are you Earl? Where's Earl? I want to know where Earl is. Where's Earl? Earl, put your hand. There, oh, it's Earl. Okay, it's Earl. Good to see you. Good to see you guys. I just wanted to know. That's all. My friend Carol is going to come and play for us. Give her a hand, would you? Come on and do it, girl.
Thank you.
We're going to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. And then hold it there because we haven't had enough music yet. This is my late mother-in-law's favorite song. As the Savior was walking up Calvary's hill, all the birds hushed their singing, the leaves stood still, all the flowers in the fields bowed their lovely heads, while the Savior to Calvary was led. They put nails in his hands, pierced his precious side, and the pain was so great, the tears filled his eyes. Yet he spoke not a word till the last breath he drew. And then he prayed, they know not what they do. Tell me why, oh tell me why, did Jesus die on Calvary? Tell me why did he suffer such agony? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that is why Jesus died for you and me. That's for Barbara Jean.
Jesus had come into
Open your Bibles, like I said, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's pray together before we read the scripture, shall we? Lord, you've given us this. We're your people, and this is your book. You had Paul write this for us. Thank you for it. And we ask that you would open it to us, speak to all of our hearts as only you can by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning at verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul wrote, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers," that is the brothers and the sisters, by the way, "at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me as one abnormally born." This whole thing of the resurrection of Jesus is the basis for everything that we believe. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, none of this matters. We should be waiting for the golf courses to open for Sunday morning, is what we ought to be doing. Because without the resurrection, there's nothing else. You know, Easter Sundays, you know what they are like? They're like restringing your guitar. You know, you've been playing them for a long time. The strings are getting cruddy. They're losing all their tone and shimmer and harmonics. And you restring it. And all of a sudden, you play all night because it all sounds new again. Do you know, this just doesn't get old. Jesus Christ himself walked out of a grave. According to Paul, here in 1 Corinthians 15, if this didn't happen, all this faith stuff is useless. The apostles were liars. We're all still unforgiven. And all of our dead loved ones are gone forever, is what he says. But Jesus made this promise. It was back during the very beginning of his 3-year ministry. He went into the temple, and in the temple they were selling all kinds of stuff, exchanging money, doing all kinds of stuff, making money off visitors coming to the temple to worship. And Jesus freaked out and flipped over all their tables and drove them and their animals out of there. And said, "You've turned my father's house into a den of thieves." And they said to him, "What authority do you have? What authority do you have to do this?" And Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And they said, "It took 46 years to build this temple." But John says, "But he spoke of the temple of his body." And it's exactly what the Jewish leaders knew. Because after the crucifixion of Jesus, they're the ones that went to Pilate and got a Roman guard, and they sealed the tomb. Anyone to break the seal would die at Roman hands. Jesus made this incredible promise. Let me talk to you for just a moment about the facts that surround the resurrection. What makes it so incredible to me. And the reason I became a Christian is because I became convinced of the resurrection of Jesus. Do you know, when Jesus was crucified, his disciples were totally taken aback. They were not expecting this. They didn't get it. They expected him to take over Israel, that it was going to be a political movement, that he was going to be the promised Messiah as they thought of him. So it was totally unexplainable to these guys. And if you'll notice, when Jesus walks with those guys, with two of them, on the road to Emmaus 2 days after the resurrection, they're all downcast. And Jesus walks beside them. They don't recognize him. He says, "What are you guys so sad about?" And they say, "We've been living in a hole somewhere? You didn't hear about what's happening?" And they tell all about Jesus and what happened. And they said, "We had hoped that he would be the deliverer of Israel." Oh, they were bummed. The rest of them were locked up in an upper room that they had rented or received before from somebody else to be able to spend that last night together and having a last supper. Well, now the disciples are all hiding up there with the doors locked, waiting for the Romans at any moment to kick those doors in and drag them off to crucify them to end this thing. And then there was this obstinate unbelief by Thomas. Do you remember that? Thomas, when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. And when they told Thomas about it, he said, "Enough of this stuff. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it." I'm not going to have my heart broken again. I'm not going to believe it unless I put my fingers in the holes in his hands, and unless I put my fist inside his side, that huge gash, then I'll believe it. Until then, don't talk to me about it. The next week, they're meeting together. Thomas is with them. They're, of course, the doors are locked. And Jesus appears and turns to Thomas and says, go ahead. Thomas falls on his knees and says, my Lord and my God. You see, they had to convince these guys. When Jesus showed up that first time in that upper room, they all freaked out. And he says, okay, it's really me. I got flesh and bones. Look, feel me. Touch me. Look, you got anything to eat? I'll eat something. Give me some fish. They were convinced. For me, it is just so beautiful. So it really, even though it was unexplainable to the disciples, it happened. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it until it was all over. It's kind of like me with geometry. I'm not a math guy. You know, I tell people at funerals that death takes one out of one. I'm not a math guy, but I know those are not good numbers. Okay, I know that. Geometry, I never got. I had such trouble with any kind of abstract mathematics. A bunch of you are whizzes, and I'm really proud of you. But I never was. And until I started using geometry in building furniture, I was doing this stuff, and somebody said to me, oh, you're doing your geometry. And I said, what? They said, it's geometry. It is. Well, I saw how it worked. Once I saw how it worked, I got it. The disciples were the same way. They didn't understand. They didn't have a clue. But afterwards, everything clicked, and they saw that it was true. So, you know, it was verifiable, too. This wasn't something that was just, you know, done sleight of hand. Paul, later in life, was able to say to the Roman governor Agrippa, he said, after he explained to him what Jesus had done, he said, this wasn't done in a corner. You've heard about this. Check it out. And as he says here, that in our section in 1 Corinthians, that he was seen by all these individuals in individual appearances, but then at one time, 500 people at the same time were with him. You want to know what happened to these people? They went to their deaths. There was one man out of this entire group of the hundreds in the beginning movement of following Jesus Christ in this world that lived to old age. His name was John. Of course, he wrote the gospel, his letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. He's the only one that lived a long life. Everybody else was murdered for their faith. You know what turned Chuck Colson, the hatchet man for Richard Nixon, into a Christian? He had heard Billy Graham preach, and he heard all that, but when he heard about the resurrection, he knew it had to be true. Because he said, I was involved in a plot in Washington to try to keep a secret about the Watergate break-in, and we couldn't do it. The most powerful men in all the world couldn't keep the secret and keep the story straight for a week, and these people all did for more than 40 years, and all went to their deaths. Do you want to know why? Because a dead man got up and walked. That it's true that Jesus is alive. It, by the way, it was fixable. All they had to do was show up with a body, right? The people in power, the Romans and the Jewish leaders, all they had to do was show up with his body. Done. See, there was this problem that the body wasn't there because he was alive. Oh, man. Sunday came. Wow. And for 2,000 years, this has been the most resilient thing in all the world. Think of it. 2,000 years to disprove it. And all archaeology does is continue to confirm the stories of the Bible, the history of the Bible. To me, that's just a beautiful thing. Totalitarian governments, dictatorships, and communism could not stamp it out. In fact, the harder they tried to destroy the Christian church within their groups, it grew more. No Tiananmen Square, no Nazi SS, none of them could stop it. And then it goes into the free world. Here in America, an open society where everything is researchable, and it still stands the test of time. You want to know why? Because a dead man got up and walked. That's why it really happened. You know, they try to explain it away. They try to say, well, the disciples came and stole his body. Are you kidding me? Those losers? Are you kidding me? No, they didn't have a clue like we talked about, and they also didn't have any power. They couldn't do that. I mean, is that the horse you're backing in this race? You need to rethink that. Oh, the other one, there's two things that people bring up and just this week to me. The second one is not just that the disciples stole it, but the thing that's even beyond more stupid than that one. Yes, I said stupid in church. I should say uninformed. Maybe I should say desperate. Is this. They try to say that Jesus survived Roman crucifixion and 3 days later came out. Seriously. No antibiotics. Have you ever read anything about Roman crucifixion? Did you read Bill O'Reilly's book? You might not like him, but the work in that book is incredible. Killing Jesus. Just read it just for that information. It's impossible. Those are pathetic attempts. Hey, the fact of the matter is that Jesus is alive. My buddy Mike was in the Vietnam War, and he was a Christian boy, and he was in with an atheist guy. And the atheist guy said, man, I don't believe in God. Forget it. Well, then the battle started happening. And one day, Mike says he jumps into a foxhole, and here's this atheist guy with a Star of David, a rabbit's foot, a cross, and a bunch of other stuff hanging around his neck. And he said to him, dude, I thought you were an atheist. He says, you know what? Right now, I can't afford to offend anybody. That's what he said. Well, listen, you can offend all the others except for the one who is the truth, the way, Jesus, who walked out of the grave alive. And listen, this isn't like a museum. You go to a museum, you look at the pretty stuff, you look at the intricate work, you look at the historical pieces, you're amazed by all of it, you're inspired by all of it, and then you go home and it doesn't make any difference. What difference does it make that Jesus was raised from the dead? Three simple things. Number one, he is who he said he was. I know that offends the world, but it's true. He's alive. That means he is Lord and King over all things, and all of us have to answer to him someday. Don't forget that. Second of all of those who trust him are forgiven. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that his crucifixion on the cross was accepted by God the Father as payment in full for my sin and your sin. Man, what are you ashamed of? What is the guilt that drives you? I'm telling you, the resurrection of Jesus proves that if you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, as the scripture says, the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all, not a little bit, not just my past sin, but all sin. You don't have to carry that guilt anymore. You don't have to do a bunch of psychological gymnastics to try to feel better about yourself. You don't have to. You can lay it all down at the cross of Jesus and be free of that guilt. He's the Lord. Those who trust him have this incredible thing of being forgiven. Oh, that is just so good. My friend Sherry was a trust fund baby, still is. She's in her 70s now, still living off the money. You know what happens with her? It's kind of a dream to watch it all happen. This fund deposits money in her account every month, and you know what her job is? To spend it. Man, that's a life, isn't it? It's really quite a life. God has deposited into the account of everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ everything we will ever need to be his forever. Spend it. Trust it. Stand on it. One more thing. Those who trust in Jesus, get this, those who trust in Jesus live forever. You getting older? I am. I hate this stuff. I liked it when you guys hired me when I was 25 years old and I was like the kid. Now I'm on the old guy. Sad to say, I'm bowling with Ron. Not because I'm bowling with Ron. Because he's a way better bowler than me, and I've never been a bowler. And Ron just thought he would invite me to bowl with him for me to be embarrassed publicly. He enjoys that a lot. But what's really sad, it's a seniors league. And Ron and I bowled against a bunch of old chicks last week. I hate to tell you. Their name was the Senior Hookers. That's just wrong. That's just wrong. And what's really bad? 3 out of 4 beat me. I hate being old. It's not my favorite thing at all. I'm telling you. But what's really hard about being old and watching your people go. I told you before, to go home sometimes, I'm driving up Dixie Highway, and there's that Ottawa Park Cemetery. And you know, Dixie's busy all the time, right? It's all the time busy. So I cut through the cemetery. I know you're not supposed to do that, but what I say is, we've got all of our family buried there, and I've got hundreds of friends buried in that place. So I'm telling you, we own so much real estate, I should be able to drive through that place when I want to. But something happens to me when I'm cutting through that cemetery. I see the names of my friends and family on stone, and it breaks my heart. I see my Aunt Vanita and Uncle Joey. I see Andy Anderson. I see my buddy, Mr. Bickerstaff. I see Gordon Keeler. I see all of those. I got out at Gordy's grave the other day, and I walked up to it with such an ache in my heart for that old man to be in my life again. He was the one who pulled me off the road, you know, ran me off the road back in 1978 and said, "Tommy, we want you to come and work at Community Bible Church." And I told him he was crazy, and he said, "No, we really want you to consider it." He protected me, loved me. He was my friend. I miss that old man. Darn it. I want you to know something. There's one thing and one thing only that fixes this. One thing. There's nothing else in the whole world that fixes this except the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which means that it's all true, which means one day, not only are we going to go be with the Lord forever, but all of our people are going to be with the Lord again forever. And this is going to be fixed once and for all. Listen. The King of Glory is alive. He came out of the grave. It's true. Would you quit trying to fight it? It's time to just surrender to Jesus. Trust him as your Savior. You don't have to come forward in the service and say a bunch of stuff. You just need to talk to him and tell him that you know you're a sinner and that you want him to be your Savior and forgive you. It's that simple. If you say with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, you will be saved from all of this. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for what you have shown us. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the truth of all of this. Thank you for how reliable, how relatable, how reasonable all this is. Would you please help each of us to rededicate our lives to you and who you are? We've been going astray, Lord, and we need you, and we confess it and ask for your help. Father, there's some of us here that have never trusted you, and today, Lord, may they turn to you and simply say, "Lord Jesus, I'm lost, and I believe that you are the King and you were raised from that grave and that you died for me. Save me. I give my life to you." Lord, it's so simple. It doesn't have to be my exact words, but Lord, open the hearts of the folks that we would believe you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.